Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's that witching hour. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as always, at this time, you know what time it is. I am your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master. And I'm also joined by my esteemed co-host, Chef the Joker. And we also have another host, Mike the Bookie Wright. And all we comprise is the FSP crew. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to all three. Got a great show in store for you tonight. I want to talk about some NFL and some basketball and whatever else happens to hit our feeble minds on this nice chilly night over in the East Coast. But without further ado, let's bring in before I do that, we also have a chat room. The chat room is always open for your convenience. Ask a question, make a statement, or a comment. If it's feasible, we'll address it on air, but it's there for you. What you put into it is what you get out of it. Like I said, let me bring in my esteemed co-host, and let's go from there. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going?
All right. We do have a caller already, and I'm not exactly sure who this is. Caller from the 301. Welcome to the FSP Crew Show. State your name and tell us what's on your mind.
Hey, guys. This is Steve from Silver Spring. How are you?
All right, Steve. How you been?
Good, good, good. Well, I'm in the finals. And there's a question.
Great. That's all right.
And Toby Gerhart, Dante Moncrief, it's PPR, remember. Toby Gerhart, Dante Moncrief, Michael Crabtree, or and Nate Washington. Is there one of those that you would pick to start for tonight or whenever?
Okay, you have Toby Gerhart, Dante Moncrief, or Michael Crabtree?
You have Michael Crabtree, that's right.
I don't like Michael Crabtree. I'm not a big Michael Crabtree fan. Tell me, is this a PPR, and is it 1-point PPR, or is it standard scoring?
Not PPR.
It's a PPR.
Yep.
Is this a flex position that you want to put this guy in?
Yes, it's a flex. It's a flex position, yep.
Let me see. That Toby Gerhart goes against the Titans, who are one of the worst running defenses in the league, but he does it by committee. Dante Moncrief is hit or miss with the better quarterback of all three of these teams, all three of these players. And Colin Kaepernick has been absolutely brutal. Absolutely brutal. Wow.
Or Nate Washington.
What's that?
Or Nate Washington.
Or Nate Washington. Wow. Well, let me put it this way. In my opinion, and I always go this way for the most part, I see four players, and I see one quarterback that's the better out of all four of these players. And I would have to go with Dante Moncrief, in my opinion. Jeff, you got a choice? You got a thought on that?
Yeah, I get your point, Jerry, and that's valid. Personally, that group of four, I can't believe I'm saying it, for this week, maybe not for any other week, I like Toby Gerhart because he got a good amount of touches last week, and he looks to get a good amount of touches this week in a favorable matchup tonight. So Gerhardt, I think Washington, he's been getting a good amount of targets, but I think they're going with a third-string quarterback tonight. So, you know, overall, I'm not a big fan of Gerhardt, but, you know, tonight he's okay flex.
Well, let me put it this way, Steve. You got two choices, either Dante Moncrief or Toby Gerhardt. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of them. But I don't like Michael Crabtree, especially with Colin Kaepernick, the way he's playing. And Nate Washington with a third-string quarterback against the Jaguars, who are at a home. Who are playing defense better, that's hit or miss to me. So I don't think you can go wrong with either one of those choices, to tell you the truth.
Great, guys. I appreciate it. Well, thanks so much, guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
Good luck, my man.
Good luck.
Guys. Thank you, too. Good luck with the fantasy.
Yep. All right, that's great. We already got a call about the fantasy already, and that was perfect. Perfect. It had a running back in there, and it had three wide receivers, which is fine. But you know, I always err on the side of a running back, but I don't like Toby Gerhardt for some reason. I just got a bad feeling about him running against the Tennessee Titans. I know the Titans, they get eaten up by the running back position. They've been doing like that all year. But I don't know. I mean, it leaves a bad taste in my mouth. Let me put it that way. Anyway, let's go this way. Now, Jeff, believe it or not, last night I'm laying in bed. And I'm thinking to myself, and this is the God's honest truth. I'm laying in bed, and I wake up, and I'm saying, you know, everybody's been talking about it's the running back position have been downplayed or has been diminished, and it's all about the quarterback and wide receivers. And I thought to myself, and I started listing players, running backs, that and all these running backs, supposedly, all these teams are doing running back by committee, running back by committee, running back by committee. That's the buzzword, running back by committee. Four letters, RBBC, running back by committee. Anybody who plays fantasy knows that, okay? Well, I'm starting myself, I'm in my head, listing players. Running backs, and then it bothered me so much, I fell back to sleep, but I woke up, when I woke up this morning to get out of bed, I woke up again, and I said, you know what, I got to list the running backs that are running back, not running back by committee, but workhorse running backs, and lo and behold, I'm looking at these running backs that are workhorse running backs. And the record of each one of these teams that have a running back that's a workhorse running back and a workhorse running back that has a team that's on the negative side of a winning record. I'm going to name all these running backs, and just these running backs I can think off the top of my head. Maybe you can think of some more. But these are the running backs I see that are bell cows, or workhorse running backs. And then when I name the running back, I'm going to give the record that the team has at this present time. And then at the end of it, I'm going to say we'll talk about it at the end of it. And it's no particular order. I'm just naming off these running backs, and there's no particular order that I think one through whatever I get to. Jamaal Charles, Kansas City's 8-6. Le'Veon Bell, Pittsburgh's 9-5. Justin Forsett, Baltimore's 9-5. DeMarco Murray, Cowboys are 10-4. Trey Mason, for the most part, he's the bell cow now. They're 6-8. Jeremy Hill, he's 9-4-1 in Cincinnati. Matt Forte, bad as the Bears have been, he's still the bell cow. They're 5-9. Arian Foster, 7-7. Lamar Miller, 7-7 with the Dolphins. LeSean McCoy with the Eagles, 9-5. C.J. Anderson, when all these guys get hurt, he's still the bell cow. And the Broncos, 11-3. Steven Jackson, 5-9. Alfred Morris, 3-11. Joyke Bell, who's really the bell cow, not Reggie Bush, 10-4. Eddie Lacy, 10-4. Marshawn Lynch, 10-4. Now, that's 16 running backs. I didn't name all the running backs, but that's 16 running backs I could see off the top of my head. And 12 of those running backs, their teams either have a 500 record or better, and only 4 of those running backs have a losing record. Their team have a losing record. Now, my question is this. If it's such that bad to have running back by committee, I just named 16 guys that are sitting on a team that the team runs them the most for the most part, and they're the bell cow. They're the running back that the team depends on the most, and they get the most touches out of all the running backs on their team. And 12 of those are 500 are on a 500 team or better, and only 4 are on a losing team. Where in the hell, in my opinion, is the running back by committee the way to go? Or is it a buzzword that the media or so-called experts in fantasy have brought out, saying that the thing about this the running back position is running back by committee? I don't think so. From what I'm seeing here, I got 16 teams. And for the most part, the 16 teams that have one running back that's running, that's half the league. And I probably missed a few, but that's half the league that's got one running back, and they use that one running back as much as they can. So does running back by committee work, or is it a figment of the media and fantasy experts that say that the thing now is running back by committee, and it's a passing league, and it's all about wide receivers and quarterbacks? Talk to me, Jeff.
It's what I've been hearing about running back by committee for a long time. I don't think it's going away. Some coaches, some teams, coordinators seem to favor it more than others. And it stinks for fantasy. If nobody was playing fantasy, I don't think people would care as much. And I remember I used to work with a guy who like football, didn't play fantasy, but like football. And he asked me, like, what's up with all these running back committees? And I said, well, sometimes if a team doesn't have a great running back, they can keep them fresh if they split it between two or three guys. And also, maybe they could each guy can concentrate at what he's good at, catching a football, short yardage and goal line, et cetera, et cetera. And some of these committees, as much as I hate to say it, some have been very productive. If I'm thinking of good committees years ago, Mike Shanahan in Denver was very good with the running game. And, he had Peyton Bell and Mike Bell. And he knew how to get the best from, average talent sometimes. I had Tatum Bell that year as my third running back, getting 15 carries a game. He wasn't good for much more, but put up respectable numbers. Dallas years ago with the Marion Barber, Julius Jones duo was very good. A while ago in Carolina, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart were good. They're not good anymore. there have been some good committees. But, then you get into the thing like right now with DeMarco Murray, who's playing terrific this year, but now he's, had an operation on his hand. And he's had a lot of touches, and I think – everybody's saying now think he's had over 370 touches, and that's the magic number, because almost every guy after that many touches in a season has a disappointing follow-up. So it's not going anywhere.
Well, I understand that, but what I'm saying is this. Is it really a good thing that a team does running back by committee, or like I said, there's 12 players, and I'm pretty sure I probably left a few of them out, but there's 12 players out of 16 that I put here that are on winning teams, or at least 500. Is there something to that, having a bell cow versus running back by committee, or it's just a choice? But if it's a choice, is it a poor choice? Because it looks like to me that a bell cow is the way to go versus having a split count for this year, I'm talking about, having a split snap count between running backs. In fantasy, I could care less. Over the years, they've been saying, the so-called experts have been saying this, that the running back position has been diminished year after year after year. Well, ever since I've been playing fantasy football, maybe the first year when I really didn't know anything about it, but after that, I realized the most coveted role, and who gets picked in at least the top five picks for the most part in the fantasy draft? Running backs. So in my opinion, when you say you have running back by committee, it doesn't make sense to me, for the simple fact is, in at least in the first five picks, if not more, in a fantasy draft, there's running backs picked up. Majority of the players that are picked up in the first five picks are running backs. And I'm saying right here, there's 12 guys out of 16 guys, but 12 are on the winning teams. So in fantasy, I'm talking about, in fantasy, if you were to diminish the running back and not pick a running back in the first round in fantasy, what chances are that you pick up something like a Justin Forsett or maybe a Trey Mason, that you pick up good running backs in later rounds and concentrate on a quarterback and wide receivers instead of running backs in the first round like a lot of people do? Talk to me, and then I'll bring in Mike.
Yeah, running backs in almost every league are very important. I think whether or not a team decides to go with one guy as the main guy, depends who the guy is. I mean, DeMarco Murray, when he's healthy, he's great. Le'Veon Bell, he's excellent. But some guys, if your guy isn't quite at that talent level, maybe you don't want to give him the full workload. And you want to go way back. When I was a kid, it wasn't running back by committee. It was teams had a halfback and a fullback, and the fullbacks usually got some carries, sometimes a lot, And nobody does that anymore. I mean, that would change fantasy a lot. It's hard to imagine the NFL going back to that, but if, teams were going with, the halfback and the fullback, with the fullback getting carries, that would be interesting for fantasy.
Okay. Well, we also have a trio here in the FSP crew. You've heard from me. I'm one of them. You heard from Jeff, who's the other. And we do have our esteemed third wheel on this car, which happens to be Mike Wright. Hey, Mike, what's up, my man? How you been?
Travis, what's going on?
Hey, Black, what's going on?
Oh, man, I'm in Washington, business heaven right now, man. I wish the season was over tomorrow so we could play in the championship.
Well, Black, tell me, I know you're in the championship this week. Am I right about that?
Oh, please don't remind me. I'm like a 40-point dog. I'm just sitting here praying that things go well.
Well, do you have anybody that happens to be playing tonight?
Not this crap game? No. I'll never draft any players on these two teams. No way.
Okay. Well, I had to ask. I mean,
my only hope on Sunday is that Peyton Manning can get into a shootout with the young redhead of the assassin, Andy Dalton, and that Le'Veon Bell just continues to go off like he's been doing.
Yeah, excuse me. You're going to have to wait till Monday night for that one because that's the Monday
night
game.
Monday night?
Denver at Cincinnati.
That's even worse.
So let me put it this way. Let's hope that you're not too far down because there's a possibility that you may be down going into Monday night. And you
I may be done at Monday night. Not down, but done. His squad's ridiculous.
Is that the one that? Yeah, I think he played me, right? Yeah, and I got pasted by him. Let me look at his roster real quick and see.
That's quick, and I will be on my knees on Sunday praying to the fantasy guys that I've been good this year. They blessed me with this money. He doesn't need it. I need it.
he pasted me a black.
He's stacked.
Yeah, I got to admit, I don't know. Oh, well, I know how he did it, but wow. Yeah, Andrew Luck, Alfred Moore, C.J. Anderson, Jordy Nelson, Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Gates, Mike Evans. Wow.
And look at the guys on the bench that are also offense.
He's got Michael Crabtree, Eric Decker, Chris Ivory, Travis Kelce, Josh Gordon, Ryan Matthews, Alex Smith, and Joseph Randle. Wow, man. Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, well, let me put it this, Mike. I incurred his wrath last week, and I was a 50-point underdog last week. I lost by 31, but I was never in this game. So all I have to say to you, Uptown Django's, is good luck. That's all I can say. But you never know. Hey, you never know what's going to happen in fantasy. I've seen some guys that
like the Nas album. This was already written.
Well, you got to stay positive, man. Anything can happen in fantasy. Jeff knows that. Anything can happen in fantasy. You can get some weird things happening. One of these studs on his team, or two or three of the studs, could have the worst game they've ever had. And it happened. Look what happened to Aaron Rodgers last week, playing against the Buffalo Bills. Now, the Buffalo Bills are a tough defense, but it's not like Aaron Rodgers hasn't played against tough defenses before. But his receivers, all over the joint, were dropping passes, and Aaron Rodgers were throwing passes that he never throws. I don't know if you guys noticed or not, but I heard this, that Aaron Rodgers had the worst game in his NFL career. His absolutely worst game. And it couldn't happen at a worse point for those players who had Aaron Rodgers were counting on him to pick up some points, because he had been super hot up until that point, and he laid a huge, huge, I think, single-digit goose egg. I mean, not goose egg, but single-digit in fantasy, which killed a lot of people who were counting on him for some nice points, and they were riding the wave of previous week.
All I know is that I had a matchup with Just Boy, and he beat me both times during the regular season. So I'm like, well, we're going down in the semifinals. Sure enough, I just check in to see what's going on, and I get a report on my phone, Peyton Manning goes out of the game. I said, goodness, what's going on here? And just like that, I said, man, well, it's done. It was a good run. But I didn't realize he came back to the game and threw a touchdown, so Hopefully he's over that flu and can put up some points like he used to. And please find Julius Thomas. It's been all I think Julius Thomas has given me at least 6 points since that trade I made with you.
Yeah, how about that? Anyway, I'm looking at your schedule, Mike, and week 7 you played the same guy you're playing today, and you beat him. So you got to have some faith. Week 7.
I don't even remember that game. What was the score on that one? I'm sure it was close.
147.6 to 134.2. So you beat them in week 7. So don't say that you can't do it because you did it once already. So anything can pop. Quite naturally, you can't go back and see if you were or Brooklyn.
That was back when Peyton Manning was actually throwing the football.
Well, like I said, I don't know if you were or your opponent were favored in that game, but. You beat him the last
time. Now he's just going to go back there and hand off to the guy that I'm playing as you, CJ Anderson.
Well, that could be true. That could be true, but see, the thing about it, and this is the key, that the Broncos, they've been running the ball for like last 3 weeks or so, but they can go back to the Peyton throwing the ball in a heartbeat. So you don't know. Peyton Manning was feeling real bad last week. He had 4 IV bags put into him at halftime. He had a stomach virus. He had a bruised thigh, which he sustained because of his dehydration. He had time to get himself together, man. So they're going up against Cincinnati on Monday night. All I can say is anything can happen. And don't count yourself out until you're out. Don't count yourself out until you're actually out. And speaking of out, let's talk about this. And this has got to pertain to football. You got two 2-12 teams going up against each other on a Thursday night. One of the last Thursday night games. I don't think there's a Thursday night game next week, if I'm not mistaken, because it's Christmas. And we won't. By the way, people who are listening, we won't have a show quite naturally on Christmas. We'll be probably doing a replay. We will be doing a replay of a previous show, but we won't be doing a live show on Christmas. And got 2-12 teams. Jacksonville Jaguars are hosting the Tennessee Titans. I think the Charlie Whitehurst is going to be the quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, who are absolutely horrible, which their 2-12 team reflects that. And Blake Bortles is coming back from a minor foot injury, and he's going to captain the ship, as he's been doing for the majority of the season, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. My question is this. You can pick either side. I want you guys to pick the winner after you pick who will be fantasy relevant in this game, be it a wide receiver, the defense, running back, and even quarterback or tight end. I'm going to go to Jeff first, and then you, Mike.
Wow. This game looks ugly, but, you know, you never know, because once in a while these type of games will surprise you.
Right.
As far as fantasy relevance, you know, a lot depends on how deep the league is. Delanie Walker, I think, is very relevant. A lot of tight end scoring has a lot to do with matchup, and the Jacksonville defense gives up a lot to tight ends, and tight end's been a very disappointing position in fantasy this year. A lot of people think Gerhardt in Jacksonville could have a good game. the Jacksonville wide receivers might be relevant because the Tennessee defensive backs give up a lot to wide receivers. So the thing is, they used to say these type of late season, quote, meaningless games, people would still pay attention because of the point spreads and whatever. And now people are also paying attention because of fantasy.
So who do you like in this game to win this game, Jacksonville?
Ooh, that's tough. You know, I think, Jacksonville's at home. And, you know, Bortles isn't pretty, but I don't know. He's tough. He tries. I think he's got some heart. So, I don't know. I think the Jags will pull it out.
What about you, then, Mr. Wright?
I don't believe I've watched either team all year, so I couldn't even tell you who was on the roster, who's fantasy relevant. This probably a game probably will end in the 3-3 tie, maybe. I have no clue.
Well, Tennessee Titans are 22nd in passing yards and 27th in rushing yards, while their opponents, and quite naturally, anybody who plays fantasy should probably know this, while the opponents running against Jacksonville, Jacksonville is the worst against the run and only 18th against the pass. So even though it's a running back by committee and it's Toby Gerhard, who for the most part was a free agent signing over the off season for Jacksonville and was hoping to be the bell cow, Jeff, for the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's had a spotty season in and out of the lineup. And I think they're still going to be running by committee, but I think Gerhardt's going to be starting. He's probably, like you suggested to your to Steve earlier, it's a good play because of the what Tennessee gives up in a running game. On the other side, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I've always said this, and it's pretty for the most part, it's held true regardless of their 2-12 record. Jacksonville has a tendency to play better at home than they do on the road. It's one of those schizophrenic teams, and it doesn't seem like it makes a difference whether it's a completely different personnel or the same personnel from previous years. It's just something that is. They're 29th in offense in passing and 25th in rushing on offense. And on the other side, they're 21st against the pass and they're 27th against the running game. So if you look at it, that both these teams should be able to run on it themselves on each other, and both these teams should have relatively success in the passing game. But because Jacksonville is playing home and Gus Bradley had these guys playing better of late, quite better of late, and giving teams scares because of the play that they put out on the defensive side, I have to go with Jacksonville. And believe it or not, in one of my championship matches, I put Jacksonville as my defense. Because they're going against the third-string quarterback in check-down Charlie Whitehurst, the clipboard Jesus, that he looks like, and hoping that he'll sustain some sacks, some interceptions, and fantasy goodness on my side for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now I do have Delanie Walker in the same lineup. So I guess I'm fighting myself, but he doesn't have to get into the end zone because he's one of the main targets for the Titans, regardless of what quarterback is in there. And it's check down Charlie, who likes to throw short anyway, because he doesn't like to take chances just like Alex Smith. So I'm counting on Delanie Walker to give me some decent points, not get in the end zone, and hurt my defense. But maybe rack up enough points in a PPR to make me feel better about that tight end position. But anyway, we had some other things going on in fantasy in football. Jay Cutler, one of the most turnover-prone quarterbacks in the league, one of the, in my opinion, over-hyped and overrated quarterbacks in the league. Mark Trestman had finally had enough of Jay Cutler. And believe it or not, I was shocked when I saw this. Believe it or not, he benched. I'm not shocked he got benched, but he got benched not for the rookie that they have sitting back there, who's the third-string quarterback, but for the second guy on the totem pole, Jimmy 1-9 Clausen. I'm shocked when I heard this, especially if they were going to Clausen, who's like I said, whose record is 1-9, and he hadn't started a game since either, I think it was 2010, something like that. Your thoughts, Jeff? Jimmy Clausen, new starter for the Chicago.
I was a little surprised. Like a lot of things, you wonder what's really going on. I wonder if they want to trade Cutler and they're looking to keep him healthy. That's one of the theories I heard. I think that's a possibility. I think it was just last week there was the big brouhaha about the what the offensive coordinator was saying about Cutler, how he wasn't making the right audibles, et cetera, which even though the coordinator was right, he screwed up huge. You don't do that. You keep that private. And I wonder what that has to do with it. I wonder if that guy's going to keep his job. But I'm sure Cutler has cost a few coaches jobs. And at this point in his career, he's in his ninth season, I think, it's hard to imagine him making a radical change. But all you need is one of the team to be interested. I mean, I could see if a team, if he was a free agent and the price wasn't too high, but for a guy like Cutler to give up a first-round pick or more and a lot of money to commit to, I can't imagine that.
Talk to me, Black. What's your thoughts on Jay Cutler?
Oh, you know my thoughts on Jay Cutler, especially on this show going back years. That guy is trash. He's Jeff Jones 2.0. Has no mechanics. He's in his ninth year. He's not going to get better. Why Chicago signed him to that extension is beyond me, and you'll be a fool to trade for Cutler. A fool.
Well, I was listening to Brian Billick on a sports show on my way home from work, and he had said that in not so many words. In fact, he did say it. He referenced Jeff George as Jay Cutler as a comparison. Anybody think that's about right and overrated? A guy with a hell of an arm, and that's about it. His attitude is questionable, and his head mind is the same. He's got a world of talent, but for some reason it just doesn't come out on the field. He supposedly practices lights out. As soon as he steps between the lines in a game that's for real, something happens. I don't know, man. I'm surprised that it's come to this. And
Billick also said Jeff Jordan. Okay, Billick, great minds think alike, man. Jeff Jordan 2.0. That's who he is.
Yeah, he did. Because I heard him. I said, a lot of people saying the same thing that Jeff. He reminds them of Jeff George. And supposedly a ton of talent with a rocket for an arm, but. Between the years is a different story. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I mean, I think he's doing like if he's on a roster next year, it's over $20 million or something, a crazy amount that he's supposed to get if he's on a roster next year. And if he's not, I think they still cost him $15 million against the cap or some godly amount. That is a damn shame when you get a guy that's got the stats he has. And I don't know. I'm amazed. I'm just amazed that the it took him this long for it took him this long to finally bench Jay Cutler, because he's been like this, well, for the most part of the season, but like the last two or three games, he's been absolutely abysmal. And it was tough to see this past Monday night, as bad as he was, getting sacked. And, I mean, he just throwing a ball over the place and picks. I think he had three picks and could have had more. It was a sorry display. I think they had 11,000 empty seats in Chicago, and that's unheard of. 11,000 empty seats in Chicago. And I have a nephew. He's not a Chicago Bears fan, but he lives in Chicago, and he said it's absolutely terrible, terrible what the fans are saying about Jay Cutler. And you're right, Black. Whoever decides to take him, it will be a fool, because I don't know if he's able to be saved. I think what you see is what you get, what you're always going to get. So it is what it is, and let's move on from there. And Adrian Peterson has filed an appeal. Quite naturally, a lot of people thought off and on that he was going to play, but like everybody knows, he ain't playing. More than likely, his days in Minnesota are done. And Jerry Jones, hey, he talked to him earlier. You never know. He may grab him up. Let's talk about this one here. Your boy, DeMarco Murray, Black, broken finger who he had surgery on. And now he's got a glove with a piece of plastic that I guess protecting the finger, and your boy Jerry has said that it's a strong chance that he'll still play, a running back with a broken finger in one hand not being able to grab the ball. Your thoughts, Black, on if yes or no, should he start DeMarco Murray with a left broken hand? Talk to me.
I believe they should, but don't use them as much as you've been using them. Don't wear them out. He has that glove. We have a stable of backs. Throw Randall out there. I forgot our third string guy, but just rotate those guys. Lance Dunbar. Thank you. Just rotate those guys and let DeMarco play. I mean, it's the left hand. He usually carries the ball in his right hand. It's just going to affect him pushing off on the step arm. But other than that, it shouldn't affect him too much. As long as he knows how to protect it, not get hit on it, I don't see that the hand is hurting his legs. You need your legs as a running back. Your hands, you can use it somewhere, but I don't ever play.
What's your thoughts there, Jeff? Should he play or should he sit?
You know, I think Dallas is doing what a lot of teams do. They want the opponent to prepare for everything. Excuse me. I think there's a good chance they're thinking, we can't trust this guy with the football, but we don't want to tell that to Indianapolis. You know, they'll wait till an hour before the game to make him inactive. And, I mean, Murray's usually pretty good at holding on to the football. He did have a few fumbles earlier this season. But, I mean, the thing is, I mean, as great as he is, I mean, holding on to the football is huge. And if, you know, he coughs it up once or twice, they'll never hear the end of it.
Okay. I just wanted to give you a thought there and see if what you thought. And Leon Washington just scored on a pass from Charlie Whitehurst for 8 yards. And
who did those two guys play for?
They play for the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, okay, just check.
Oh, I'm starting off on a bad foot, wrong foot already. Well, what can I say? You know, like I said, I put the Jags defense in there, but that's all right. That's Charlie Whitehurst. He may start off. I still have faith that my Jags at home can do a better job than they're doing right now. Not my Jags, I should say, but the Jags defense. But we'll wait and see what happens. At least Blake Bortles didn't turn the ball over. It's just they got the ball out and they ran down there and got a touchdown with it. It's just unfortunate that Charlie Whitehurst threw it to Leon Washington of all people, versus Nate Washington, or I don't know if Kendall Wright is starting. I don't know if he's starting or not. Yeah, Kendall Wright is starting, and Delanie Walker. So it is what it is. I got 13 minutes, and then we'll finish with the show. I'm going to go to a commercial, and then we'll come back and jump to another subject real quick. What commercial I'm going to play here? I'll play this one.
We gotta go to the NBA trade of the day, and then you come back.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that. Okay, let me go to right here.
With a breakdown of Sunday NFL games, Lance, the NFL exporter Goodman, points out the good, the bad, and the ugly of the predictions made on the Master Plan. Getting you ready for Monday Night Football, Lance brings you the Extra Point. During the NFL season, Lance comes to you live from blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365, and listen to other informative programs as well. With a growing following, jump on board for the Extra Point with Lance Goodman at blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK at 7 p.m. Eastern. You can also check him out on the Master Plan with Jerry Taylor at 10 a.m. Eastern. Information, motivation, variety. Victor Gardner began the Fantasy Sports and Politics brand with the idea of combining two of his passions into a radio show. He then learned that politics were 95% of sports. When you tune into the Fantasy Sports and Politics show every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Mr. FSP himself, Vic Gardner, and Jerry the Master Taylor will go over the weekend sports, prep you for your upcoming fantasy games, and spark a debate politicians would love to hear. That's the FSP show every Saturday at 1 p.m. on blogtalkradio.com/BICHBK. You can listen at spotonradio.web.com after the show as it streams 24/7, 365 for other informative programs as well. Information, motivation, variety.
All right. We're back. And we're back just what the Black had talked about. We're going to the NBA. And what we're going to be talking about in the NBA, one of them, is the Celtics have agreed in principle to deal Rajon Rondo to the Dallas Mavericks in exchange for Brandon Wright, Jameer Nelson, Jai Crowder, and 2 draft picks, according to ESPN.com. Now, I'm surprised at this. I'm really surprised that they would deal Rajon Rondo. Even he hasn't been playing that well, but he's not. But it's a deal that can help the Dallas Mavericks, especially Dirk Nowitzki. Wow. I'm pretty much at a loss for words. Black, talk to me about this.
Man, Brandon Wright, that was a good backup for Tyson Chandler. So I think they were missing that department. But other than that, I mean, Jermaine Nelson Crowder, a first rounder and a second rounder for a guy who can't shoot free throws and can't shoot, but can definitely distribute the rock. I think the Celtics, oh, man. I mean, I think Rondo was tanking up there, so they had to ship him out of there. But Dallas definitely looks good. They definitely look good now. I don't know if they're going to play the combo Ellis and Rondo back there. They bring one of those guys off the bench, but you got Chandler Parsons there. You still got Nowitzki. You got Tyson Chandler in the middle of that. That's as good a starting five as any in the league. That's going to be a tough thing out in the West. The Western Conference, every from 1 through about, I say 9 to 10, it's going to be landmines all over the Western Conference. There's just too many good teams out there. Dallas just stacked the odds against the deck. I just checked the Vegas Sportsbook. Their odds to win the championship now have moved up to 8-1. So this is a great, great move for Dallas, but I don't think Rondo was worth that much.
Jeff, your thoughts.
Wow. News to me. I've been having some computer problems. I was hearing just this afternoon that the Celtics were looking to trade Rondo, which I think I've been hearing that for a while. And then, of course, this happens with local sports radio. Of course, they're talking about him going to the Knicks. And you know, I seriously doubt two things. A, the Celtics do not want to trade him inside their own division, and that's usually the case. And B, you have to give up something to get something, and the Knicks have very little to offer, you know. Wow, that is a very interesting trade. I'll tell you, I just think I heard it was today, yesterday, Jabari Parker's out for the year. And, yep. Wow, I mean, he very promising young player. And, you know, sounds like a serious injury, but, you know, you never know. Blake Griffin missed his entire first year, and look, you know, what he's, you know, been able to accomplish. But, you know, the thing is, there's only so many star players in the NBA, and, you know, and then there's only a few really good prospects to come into the league. So in that respect, it's a small league, and I know Kevin Durant is back, but it seems like a lot of the big-name guys have been hurt this year.
Yep. Speaking of big-name guy, Kobe Bryant. I just got this four hours ago. Before we get that, it says that Kobe Bryant is done in the NBA after his contract expires. And his contract expires when? In 2 years. This is the first season of a 2-year contract. So, come 2016, he may be saying it's I'm at the end of the line, which has been, he's had a long storied career, and that's a great segue into him being the third leading scorer in NBA history, surpassing MJ. Now he had multiple championships, not as many as Michael Jordan. But he's had multiple championships, and now he's passed him in his scoring of all time. I know this is a crazy question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Kobe Bryant, MJ, who's the best of all time? And Kobe's career is certainly not over yet, but it's close to the end. Who's the best of all time? He's outscored Michael now. He's got multiple championships, just like Michael. Talk to me, Jeff.
Wow. I mean, Kobe's a great player, but I probably think Michael Jordan is a little better. But two obvious all-time great players.
Michael, what's up, man? Talk to me.
This is blasphemy. You're asking me this question.
What's up, blasphemy? I said maybe it was a crazy question. I premised it by saying that first before I asked the question because I knew I was going to get a reaction from some one of you, and it was from you. But that's okay. I'm asking the question.
His anus. Kobe is a clone. His anus.
Okay. When you say he's a clone, how can he be a clone? I mean, he's his own person. He's a different type of player. He's a scorer, just like Michael. He plays. He probably doesn't play as better defense than Michael, but he's not bad on.
Go on YouTube and type in Kobe and Michael Jordan similar moves, and tell me if you don't see a clone.
Well, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. He may copy some moves off of Michael to benefit his career.
Some?
I understand.
Kobe does give his respect to Michael. He really does. And I think they're even friends. And years ago, when Kobe was in his prime, they asked him about, you know, are you better than Michael or something like that? And he just said, hey, I'm just trying to be the best I can be. And he left it at that.
Well, that's true. I mean, it is what it is. But it's a conversation that I can guarantee you it's going to be ongoing. But the simple fact is, if you look at the two guys' careers, they both accomplished quite a bit. MVPs in finals, championships, and scoring. And like I said, he just passed Michael. I think he played more games than Michael, but just because he played more games doesn't mean he you're going to outscore him. So he's done a hell of a thing about outscoring him. That's why I had to ask the question. Maybe one of you guys said, well, Kobe may be a better player. For the most part, people think Michael Jordan is the is the better player. And there's no dispute, but I had that asked that question. And
when it's all said and done, Kevin Durant will move past both of them on the scoring list.
Oh, that's a bold statement there.
Let me ask you this.
You see how the makeup of Kobe. You see the makeup of Michael. These guys seem like they're relatively the same size type of player versus Kevin Durant, who's slight, who for his height he's very slight in build. Do you think? And he's already had one injury, because of his slightness, that Kevin Durant's going to be able to sustain the same amount of time that either Kobe or Michael played. To be able to be in a position to accumulate the points that both field guys maybe eclipse them. Black, talk to me.
Barring injury, Kevin Durant will get both of those guys to score. He is already, the second or third youngest to 15,000 points already? Injury, Kevin Durant is going to bring that record down. His range is ridiculous. I mean, the guy can shoot from half court if he wanted to. He shoots better than Mike and Kobe.
Okay. What about you there, Jeff?
You know, it's an interesting question. He'll try to bulk up a little bit. But, you know, with all due respect, he's not picking up a lot of bumps and bruises when he's playing defense. That might help him a little bit. But, you know, it's so hard to project because no matter how great an athlete is, these guys are flesh and blood, and you just don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Okay. Well, I know people are watching this, but if you look in an empty room, and Black, I got this picture. Did you hear the huge room full of all the people who are watching versus the Titans game, and it's a picture of an empty room. Okay. Well, I can guarantee you there's more than an empty room of people watching this because some players in fantasy that they need for either the championship or the semifinals. So with that being said, before we get out of here, because we're just slightly in overtime, before we get out of here, I'm going to hand it to either Jeff. I'm going to hand it to Jeff and Black before I just close this show out and get out of here. Jeff, what you got to say before we get out of here?
Yeah, just want to wish everybody happy holidays, whatever you celebrate, and also good luck in the fantasy championships.
Black?
Oh, happy holidays to everyone out there. Happy holidays to my two co-hosts.
Same to you, Black.
And if you're not tired of living a misery with the Brooklyn Nets, the New York Knicks, I offer you the chance to come on and watch the Wizards fandom. Come get on the bandwagon. A space for you, Jeff. It's also a space for you, Meister. I appreciate you for joining the Wizards fandom. Other than that, go Wizards.
All right, with that being said, happy Hanukkah to you, Jeff. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and also happy Kwanzaa to you, Black. And all those listeners, whatever holiday you celebrate this time of year, may it be enjoyable and safe. And with that, go watch your fantasy games, and good luck to those who are playing in the fantasy championship. And hopefully you come out on top and get that ring, get that trophy, make that money, and we're out of here.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.